Hey, how's it going, everybody? I'm Eric Panecki.
I'm David Choi.
And I'm John Libretti.
And welcome to the Deals and Dollars Podcast.
The three of us are real estate executives in the New York City metro area. Every week, we bring on the best real estate investors and entrepreneurs we know to talk about how they made it in the business, how they sourced their deals, and most importantly, how they make their dollars.
Quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as an offer to buy or sell any securities or to make or consider any investment or course of action. All right, let's get into it.
Let's ride!
All right, today we got really, really exciting news. My business partner, partner in crime, Eric Panecki is joining us today for a one-on-one interview. But what's really awesome is that Eric's also going to be joining us on future podcasts as a co-host. I could go on for days about the experience Eric has, what he's done, but I think it's probably best if you just hear from the horse's mouth. So Eric, why don't you just kind of give a little background on your story?
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure. You guys have done a great job getting this podcast off the ground, so hopefully I can help carry that forward and keep the good leverage name going. For me, my experience, I started in finance. Depending how far back you want to go, I've always loved business. That's been my thing. From a very early age, shoveling driveways and selling lighters on eBay to flipping concert tickets. It's always been kind of ingrained in me, and that's, transitioned into kind of what we have today. And, it's been a good dichotomy between you and me, where, your real estate has always been your forte, and I just like the business aspect of it, and that's always been the balancing act, and it's worked well and got us to where we are today, and, hopefully it will keep us pushing forward. So, it's a pleasure to be a guest on the podcast, and, hopefully bring a different perspective moving forward.
Yeah, no, I think as all businesses, you kind of learn a lot about your partner. It's been 4.5 years, almost 5 years now that we've been partners. And we've been on a personal level, on a business level. We got married and we didn't even know we got married 4.5 years ago. And I think that's what they don't really tell young entrepreneurs. It's like, once you become partners, and if you have large aspirations to build a company, hire people, you're married.
Yeah.
You're literally married, and through thick and thin, you got to work it out, right? So it's so important that you pick the right partner. And I got to say, for my first business partner, we've had our rough ends, but you're unbelievable, right? You bring things to the table that my brain just doesn't function in that capacity, right?
Right.
So between like the two polarities and kind of the opposite ways that we think, I think it's helped us grow exponentially. So super grateful to have you in my life as a motivator in my life. So I don't want to get too soft here, but
I think we got lucky, honestly. Yeah. I really think we got, you're right. Cause and maturity, I think, plays a big aspect in this. And when we started, you were what, 22, 23,
yeah.
I was 25. Yeah. Like, I didn't know, my ass from my elbow. So to now be where we're at, and I think we've gone through a lot of things that they tell you about, and I think both of us are also, have to learn from our mistakes kind of guys, unfortunately. But, that's also gotten us here, and I think there's a big difference between going to business, having been in business, and you're 35, 40 years old, and then you find a partner and it works, and you already know, to where we were just starting. What we have, we had $6,000 when we started. So, again, super grateful for everything we've been through. And I feel like, now we've always had a good stride and everybody's loved working with us and a good culture and all that, gratefully. But as far as hitting our strides in business, I think we're really hitting it now.
Yeah.
So, it's exciting. It's exciting. And hopefully this podcast can bring us, guests and the right people and the right partners. We keep growing, but, yeah, and I think, my advice for anybody that's starting out, definitely don't partner with, your best friend, right? Like, just because they're there, right? Don't partner. I think the best partnerships probably start with, a long-standing business relationship, somewhat similar to what we have with Mahir, on our partner Mahir, who runs the property management aspect of all our holdings. you know, we didn't start out just, hey, we're gonna partner, right? We worked together for years, and I was like, this works. We know we can work together, and we know we can, you know, we've had our conflicts, and we've been able to, you know, resolve those with cooler heads. And I think having what is it, a track record or a runway working with somebody, looking back now, that's what I would do is you know, run it with them. You know, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Check it out. Does it work? Is it good? And then if it is good, then go all in. But
yeah. No, that's real wisdom right there. And I just want to say something completely off topic. I have heard now for 4.5 years that we have the same exact voice. And so for the guests listening, I have no idea if they know who's talking right now.
Is it similar? Is that similar, right? It's because I have the mirror, whatever. Whoever I'm talking to, I automatically talk like.
You're very good at mirror. You're good at making like reenacting people's.
Yeah.
You do it perfectly.
I do it by accident. I used to hang out with a kid in high school who had a stutter, like really bad. And I used to hang out with him every day. All of a sudden, I started stuttering. I was like, I can't hang out with you anymore, bro. I'm sorry. You're like, you're a cool guy. I can't be the stutter.
You're getting the
stutter. It's too much. It's too much.
That's good.
So like they say, like you're the sum of, or the average of your five. I have to be very careful. I can't, you know.
It's true.
All of a sudden I have a stutter. Negative talk, whatever. Yeah, no, that's funny. But
there's that's a good point. Like we got into business with Brendan, right?
Right.
We started off.
Brendan's a good example.
Just referring him business.
Yeah.
Referring him business. We took him from doing like $300,000, and then within the year, he was grossing over $1 million in revenue.
So Brendan De Silva.
Brendan De Silva, yep.
Right. In case anybody doesn't know, number one realtor in Newark, you know, long time Newark guy, one of the best people in, honestly, one of the best people in.
Really is.
But yeah, I mean, that's a great point. We didn't, even though he was your friend, though. From high school.
I just knew he was a dog savage.
Yeah.
Like, he was just so hungry to win.
Uh-huh.
And he just always stood for a higher power. Like, he's a God-fearing man.
Yeah.
And, like, when you really have a... When you're a God-fearing man, I just kind of trust you a little bit more. It's going to be a little harder for you to do some sneaky, long thing. Do something behind... Brendan would maybe, you know, he teeters sometimes. He says, is this right? Is this wrong? And, you know, you got to check him here and there. But he'll always do what's right at the end of the day. And you could count on that. So it's really important. And I think we could say the same for Mihir, right? The guy's got, I trust him with.
It's morals.
Morals, yeah. Right? I would leave my
character.
Wife with him
character.
For a year.
Yeah.
Go on a business trip. I trust him with that, you know? So.
I mean, I think regardless who you are, right, or religion, you know, the principles in the Bible are good principles, right? The principles that you live by, your character. But we actually did something really smart with Brendan, which is we were referring out leads to a lot of agents,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't even know if we did this on purpose, but we were referring out leads to a lot of agents. And then one of them just happened to be Brendan. And then I think over the course of a year, it was like, we're converting way more leads with Brendan than anybody else, by far.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like a friendship. It was actually a real business decision. It's like, this works with Brendan. Let's go exclusive with Brendan. Let's form a real partnership. And then it worked. So I think the moral story, even as we dip our toe into referring out commercial leads, we should probably do something similar where it's like, you know, try out a bunch of guys.
Right.
Who's converting? Who do we know we can work with? Who have we had issues with that we bumped heads with? And then, you know, we figured out a way to make it work. I think, you know, in general, as a rule of business, that's probably a good way to do things. Unless you already know that this person has a good track record or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true. I think, like, most entrepreneurs are kind of have, like, that maverick mentality.
Yeah.
And... especially if you're just getting started, you kind of are you know, dive in, go all in right away kind of mentality. I think that's the kind of mindset that I have. I'm like, fuck it,
let's go,
right?
Yeah.
And with you, you're like, whoa, let's slow it down a little bit. Let's kind of test the waters here, and then make a decision to go all in if that's the right decision to
right.
go all in. And I think that that has definitely been the right decision overall.
I was actually thinking, to piggyback on what you said, I was thinking about this over the weekend because we just came off a week where, like, there's a lot of things that had to happen. The market's changing. A lot of shifting and movement has to happen. And I was thinking about how, like, when we started, it was like, oh, we're going to blow up the world, right? We're going to do billions and billions of dollars of transactions. And it's like, not even a question about it. It's going to happen no matter what, right? And then, like, as you do more business, you get a little jaded and, like, you want, oh, I don't know about this opportunity. You know, maybe this is too good to be, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And which is, I guess, good, but, like, you want both, really. Yeah. You want to have the confidence that you could do anything, mm-hmm. but also, you know, gain the wisdom of having been. So how do you balance that, right? It's like, I'm wise enough to know that I shouldn't just jump all over everything, do the first thing that comes to my mind, trust my instincts, and just go for it, right? But there's also some value in that.
Right.
And just having the confidence of just, all right, just do it, get out of my way, whatever it takes, like, we're going to blow up the world, right? Because you've definitely seen, like, older entrepreneurs that are, like, 40 years old, and they've just been grinding, and, like, you know, they probably made a couple bucks, but the twinkle in their eye is gone.
Yeah.
They don't still have that big dream.
Yep.
And I listen to Pat Bet David a lot. Mm. He said, whoever has the biggest thinking wins. That's what he says. Mm. The largest thinker, right? The big picture thinker.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's like, how do you balance your failures and your wisdom and not get jaded to the point where you don't want to think big anymore? Mm. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's, for you, has never been an issue. You always think big. So I guess my question for you is, like, how do you keep that big dream alive in your head all the time, even after you've been, you know, 4.5 years, we've been through a market cycle nobody's seen, we've been through COVID, nobody's seen, right? We've been through things that guys that have been in the industry for 30 years never seen before. You know, Fed increasing interest rates at the speed. This is all new stuff to us. We're figuring it out, right?
Yeah.
So how do you just keep getting hit on the head like a nail, right? Just bang, bang, and then keep that. Without getting dull and stuck in the wood,
it's not easy. It's like definitely a mental battle to keep dreaming big,
right?
Because you get punched in the mouth enough times and see enough dreams that you want it to happen fail, you get jaded,
right?
But I think there's really two aspects of it, right? I think I got really lucky finding a partner like you, because even if I hit a low, I'm sick, like, just perfect example, last week I had the flu, I'm out cold for 4 days, right? You step up, you bring the energy, turn the company around, right? Or, you know, COVID, I got sick, 2 weeks out, right? You step up hard, you rally the troops, right? And so it's like, having someone as consistent as you in the trenches, maybe you're not audaciously dreaming all the time, maybe you're down to earth right here, but you're still ferociously chasing your dreams consistently throughout the day. So having that consistency definitely keeps me feeling like, okay, we could do it. We just got to keep chipping. But one thing that I know for a fact works, it is so proven. It's writing down your vision, your goals. I know exactly how much I'm going to be worth. I knew what I was going to be worth when I was 21 years old today.
Yeah.
Exactly how many deals I'd be, how much cash I'd be making, what I'd be doing with that money, how much I'd be tithing, et cetera, et cetera. I know exactly what I'm going to be in the next, and it's written down right here, and I read it this morning.
Nice.
Right? So when the doubt comes, I'm like, bro, my vision is more real than you are in my life telling me I can't do it. Right. And if you're in here trying to tell me I can't do it, you got to get the F out,
right?
Because you're hurting me in ways you can't even imagine. You got to leave the room. Right. It's the think and grow rich mentality. I know it's like a beginner entrepreneur book, but
it's foundational.
Foundational to dreaming big forever. Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Tell me, like, you have a gratefulness practice too, right? So they say, like, you actually can't be a bad person if you're grateful every day. It's actually impossible. Right? Because you're gonna mean to people, but you're so happy about everything you have. It's just impossible. You literally can't do it. Yeah. I think you do great. You're great. I struggle with gratefulness, right? And I am blessed to have everything I have and be in the position I am and, you know, be able to control my own dreams and all of that, right? I never wanted to answer to anybody. Like, everything I could ever want, it's come true to this point.
Yeah.
And I still find myself like, shit, I'm a piece of shit, right? Like, I'm not even close to what I, like, but it's just, I think it comes from having high standards. It's a dichotomy. You want both, right? You want to be grateful, but you also want to be not complacent. So how do you, you know, you're always grateful, it seems like. At least it seems like to me. Yeah. Outside looking in.
You know what's crazy, dude? I'm doing the like a life coaching thing. The life coaching.
Yeah.
Self-love. Brad Chandler, he was on. I decided, I want to do it. I want to prove myself. So I took it, and he sent me two things, right? A form that was like just write out some of the traumas, how it made you feel, like what you've been through. And like some traumas I had there, I never tell anybody. I've never told anyone about in my life because it's embarrassing to me. Right? Wow. And it's nothing to be embarrassed about because it's pretty traumatic. But as I read through it, I was like, damn, I've been through some trauma that I really don't tell people about ever.
Wow.
Right. And then there's a self-love quiz, right? About all these questions. And I looked at it, and the score of low self-love is like 26 or something. I was like 44. I was shocked to find that.
So you really love yourself.
I have no self. I'm very lacking in self-love.
You hate yourself.
Pretty much. It appears that way, right? And you would never think that, right? No, I don't think anyone would think, oh, but maybe it's an overcompensation of it, of the lack of self-love. Like, why am I a workaholic? Like, why am I a workaholic? Like, if I work 60 hours
I would have actually predicted that.
That I have a lack of self-love.
Yeah, I would have predicted that.
Right?
You're very hard on yourself.
I am. You're hard on yourself too, right? Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what it takes to push yourself to the limit in unhealthy levels. And sometimes unhealthy level of work ethic and being hard on yourself is what it takes
right.
to get to the next level. But it comes with there's a sacrifice that needs to be made, right? So right now I'm in this search of trying to actually be grateful. Like I wake up, I say I'm grateful, I do all these little things, but am I really happy? I don't know. Maybe I've been lying to myself. completely honest with you. So I'm in the self path to making myself better right now. And we all got a lot of work to do. I think that's a doozy one. That's a doozy question. It's hard. It's hard not to be tough on yourself as an entrepreneur, I think.
They say happiness comes from being sure that you're on the right path. Which to me makes a lot of sense. When I know, like, either we could be making a ton of money, but if I felt like we're not like going the direction,
yeah,
that we're supposed to, or I'm not being the person that I'm supposed to, I'd still be unhappy. But I'm at the happiest where I'm like, this is where, like, this is exactly what we're supposed to be doing. This is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, right? And being on the right path, or I guess being clear what the right path is supposed to look like, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's where probably I struggle the most.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times I'll be pretty sure that we're not on the right path. And I'll like, you know, it's a fine. Like, it's going to be all right. But then that makes me really upset internally because I'm like, this isn't right. This isn't what we said we were going to do. This is in line with, you know, who I want to be, right? Like, and then you're doing this for so long. Maybe you're successful. Maybe you're making a lot of money.
Right.
Right. That's probably why so many billionaires are unhappy because – you know, maybe they made a ton of money, but they're not actually doing what it is that would fulfill their potential or fulfill who they are, fulfill who they want to be, right? So that was one that always stuck with me. I don't know who said it, you know, but happiness comes from being sure you're on the right path.
That's a really good point. You do often say, like, what are we, like, whenever you feel like we're out of mission or out of vision, you just go crazy.
Yeah.
You're like, what the fuck are we doing? Right. We got to get on the same page. We got to chase a goal.
Yeah.
It's a tough one, right? Yeah. Like, I'm sure you're still on a journey to find out what that purpose is. Or do you feel like you have, honestly, lately, you've been incredibly happy. You've been driven, like, more consistent. You've been a better person than I've ever known you to be over the past couple of months. And so what is it that changed that that put you on this path? Because, I mean, you're killing it right now.
I think, you know, I thrive in a position where, like, people depend on me, right? And I've always been the guy that, maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. But I always thought, if we're in a foxhole, like, I'm the guy, bro. Like, don't worry, I got you. We'll figure this out. There's grenades flying, right? Like, I always felt like I should have been a Navy SEAL or something. And maybe I'm putting down Navy SEALs because I'm sure it's really fucking hard, right? But I feel like I could have done it. And for me, it's like when I love when shit's hard.
Yeah.
I love when shit's hard. Like the easy, oh, come in every day, it's not, everything's nice. I go crazy. Where's the problem? Right? Like, let me fix some shit. Like, let's go. Like, so when stuff's hard, and then, you know, we went through a lot of chaos over the past year where I didn't feel like I was the person that everybody could rely on anymore. I just wasn't my best self. We, you know, had a lot of things going on. And to be back in that position, like, I think going back to gratefulness is like, wow, this is where I'm supposed to be. Right? This is where I'm supposed to be. And knowing that, you know, our team can still rely on me and does,
yeah.
Right? And does. And that's a good feeling for me. So I think that's it, just getting back to, like, really who you are, right? And what makes you feel good, and knowing that is, like, I want to be the guy. Call me at 10 at night on a Sunday. Yo, we got to figure this shit out, bro. Yeah. Like, I'm there. Yeah, let's go. Yeah, I'm ready. That's my favorite stuff. The 9-to-5, you know, the mundane stuff, that's where I really do struggle, is still keeping that same level of intensity when it's just normal, right? When it's just, you know, the same repetitive stuff, and keeping that, let's go, let's go, let's go, keeping that urgency. Mm. Urgency, how do you keep that, right, through the mundane?
Yeah.
And maybe it's just adding more shit, like, you know, taking on bigger risk, taking on more challenges, stepping out of that comfort zone. You know, I think if you're just consistently doing the stuff you're used to, you're not growing, right? Yep. You're doing the same thing over and over. Oh, I'm great at selling loans. Yeah, but, like, I'm talking to, you know, 1-to-4 family, you know, property owners. I want to be talking to $1 billion property owners. Yep. That's a little scary, right? But that's where you get the rush. Like, that's the shit, right? That's the shit. So you got to constantly be trying to push yourself to grow and become better, right? Because what got you here is not going to get you there, right? What got you to this point in your career isn't going to get you to that next point. So you got to figure out ways that you're going to stretch yourself.
Yeah.
To get to that next level. You know what I mean? And I think, as you know, as we grow, we got in a position where we were big fish in a small pond. And I think you and I both got a little cocky.
Yeah.
We did. Oh, we're the man.
Top dogs.
Yeah, top dog. And you got to start putting yourself in rooms. You're like, oh, wow.
You're nobody.
I ain't shit. Yep. Right? Yeah. You really got to keep doing that. And it's like, you're, as an entrepreneur, I think you're constantly getting to the top of the one step to realize you're really just at the bottom of the next.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you ever get to, unless you're Elon Musk, right? Or Bezos. Like, I don't know if you ever get to the top of the top step. Right? It's like, damn, there's another step. We got some work to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's so true. That's so true. Like you said, I think it's fair to be kind of authentic here, right?
Yeah.
Like over the last year, we had some, it was a really, really tough, rough year.
Yes.
We had started a business, and some of the partnerships, there was a partnership quarrel. Right. And that led to so much distress.
Yes.
I think someone told this to me yesterday. It was my cousin. He said he was listening to a podcast, and this guy who's been investing in businesses for like 20 years, over hundreds of businesses he's invested in. He said that businesses never fail from the competition.
Oh, wow. I know what you're saying.
They always fail because of internal partnership problems and quarrel. Right, that's always the reason for a business dying and not making it through.
I heard they don't fail because of competition. They fail because the owners give up. The
owners give up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's probably similar.
Yeah. It's what I found in the deals that have gone wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've invested in some other businesses, started other stuff. And the same theme is like, it's always comes back to
partners,
bad partnerships,
yeah.
Right? Maybe you didn't set the right expectations. Maybe someone didn't uphold their part of the whatever they promised, right? There's a bunch of guys starting off in the game right now, and they're looking to partner with somebody that brings something to the table that they might not have,
right?
Right. For a new guy starting out, this guy wants to start investing in real estate or start any business of any sort.
Any business, yeah.
What kind of advice would you give him or her?
I mean, if we're just talking specifically about partnerships, mm-hmm. I would say try to do it alone. You know?
Yeah.
Try to do it alone. See how far you can get. Right?
Yeah.
Because if you can, then you'll be better. I think you'll be better off. Yeah. Obviously, you know, there's great partnerships, right? And, you know, some of the biggest businesses in the world are partnerships. I know some VC companies won't invest in a sole proprietor. They want to make sure that there's co-founders.
Right.
So clearly there's some validity to partnerships, right?
Sure.
But I would say, like, you don't want to be in a position where you need somebody, right? You want to be in a position where you have value, enough value that the other person is going to at least match your value. You're going to say, well, you know, I'm bringing all this stuff. You're going to have to bring this, this, and this, right?
Right.
You got to make yourself valuable first.
Mm.
Right? Because otherwise, you just could partner with somebody that's of equal value, but you're not valuable. So you're partnering with someone that has no value.
Wow.
Right? So you got, I think you should start out, earn your stripes a little bit, then talk about partner, that, personally.
That's really freaking good. That's actually really, really good advice. We didn't come to partnership right out of, like, we started on our own for about a year.
Right.
We did our own businesses. I had my own pipeline.
Right.
You had your own reoccurring revenues.
Right.
And then we said, you know what? Like, this is what I think I could bring to the table.
Yep.
This is what I think I could bring to the table. Let's join forces.
It wasn't like, hey, I watched this YouTube video on buying real estate. You want to do real estate, bro? Like, right. It wasn't that. We had our own thing. We were talking. I think we were talking for a while.
Yeah.
It had to be like 3 to 6 months
right.
before we decided, all right, you know, let's do this thing, mm-hmm. right? And we both had our own idea. Yeah, no, and I think that's part of the reason it worked.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys aren't going to have experience, but you should, you know, start building that network, start going to events, you know, start doing something, right? Buy a deal, make a mistake, figure it out, right? Then I guess, you know, you could talk about partnership. But nobody who's already successful is going to just partner with you if you haven't done anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I get this question a lot on Instagram, and I have a pretty hard – I mean, I give them the best advice that I possibly could. But people are watching, you know, Instagram. They're seeing King Kong and yeah. Ryan Pineda, Steve Tree. They're seeing these big wholesale gurus.
Right.
And they're legitimate practitioners. And they're trying to get started in the game.
Yeah.
Where do they begin? What do they focus on? What's, like, get some guiding steps here for someone who wants to get started in business, our business.
That's really tough. It's really tough.
It is really tough, right?
I guess it depends, like, it depends what their end goal is, obviously, mm-hmm. right? And I think you might agree with me. Starting bigger.
Hell yeah.
Starting from a spot.
Oh, come right? on. Yeah.
Because if we started in the commercial space, multifamily, and then we'd be so much further ahead.
Dude.
Because that's what we've progressed that there, right? We've progressed that way, but it took us a while, right? But if we just started there, where would we be now?
Oh, my gosh.
And I think that's a confidence thing, right? It's a confidence thing. But do you have the confidence to negotiate a commercial? Is anybody going to take you seriously?
Right. Serious.
It's yeah.
We still get nervous. When we talk to a 120-unit owner
yeah.
or a broker that's sending us a 200-unit portfolio deal, we get nervous too.
Yeah.
But had we been doing that
the whole time,
same consistency we've been talking to residential brokers and residential owners,
yeah.
we'd be like, come on,
yeah.
next, light work.
Talk to a realtor, a big dick swing.
Yeah.
it's yeah. Like, okay. But I talked to like a commercial broker, I'm like, you know, it's pretty serious. Right. So I think if you have the confidence,
you know, the find yourself a mentor, right? That's what everybody says. Find yourself a mentor. But I think that also comes back to having some sort of value, right? If you could go work for someone for free and you're a hustler, they'll let you work for free.
Yeah, holy yeah,
they will.
Absolutely.
You got some pep in your step. You got spunk. You know you're a winner. Hell yeah. So if you find someone that's doing what you want to do, and just go work for them for 3 months, learn a lot.
It is the easiest thing. That is like between. If you just started out saying, hey, I want to start off big.
Yeah.
Skip the flips. Stop right. trying to be the easy way. Guys that start at the same time as us with like 5% of the real estate finance acumen and knowledge that we had starting off. Dude, we had a background of private equity, hedge fund. We had a solid base of knowledge.
Right.
To go out and do bigger deals. Guys that started at the same time as us and skipped the residential and started saying, hey, I'm targeting 100 plus unit deals. Needs to be value add multifamily, 20 to 30% IRRs. That's what I'm targeting. They set their buy box and went for it. They own 10 times more real estate than we do.
Right.
10 times, right. maybe more.
Right.
Right. It's crazy how much that like your mindset could impact your result. That's actually really good advice, dude.
The other thing that's a little messed up with this space is the wholesale game is the easiest way to make money in real estate, right?
Mm.
You make 20, 30 grand with no money out of pocket. Just all you got to do is find someone that wants to sell, put it under contract, and then sell it to somebody else.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
They make it sound like it's nothing.
Right.
How many sellers like actually just want to sell at a discount? Right? Well, they don't even talk. You got to pull a list, find share sales, knock on door. Like, that's really what you got to do. You got to go out there on the street, manual, go do it. Right? I mean, you can do that, though. You could definitely do that. But it's hard. It's hard.
Dude, it's really hard.
Yeah.
It's freaking hard.
Right.
Like, you could... The amount of hours that we spent building out this wholesale company that's doing 100 wholesale deals a year, it's doing great, making great revenues, very profitable, could be a lot more profitable, right? We're not even near where we want to be. But had we spent the cumulative, like, probably 30,000 hours by now, building out, dude, sourcing 100 plus unit deals, We would have like $400-500 million in AUM right now.
Right.
Like genuinely speaking, we would be halfway to $1 billion. I really would bet money on that.
I agree.
This
wholesale market is flooded right now. Everybody thinks they can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, how many text messages, how many emails, how many cold callers are calling these sellers? They're on a list. Right, there's a lot of competition. Now, if you look at it, who's really going into that multifamily space? Right, there's way less properties. There's way less competition, and if you can make a name for yourself in that space, I think you could do it way quicker.
Yeah,
way quicker than you could in the other space. So, you know, for us, I mean, depending what your end game is, if you're just trying to make a couple extra dollars on the side, maybe try wholesaling. That's cool. I get it. Right. But if you're really trying to get wealthy and make a name for yourself, you might want to think big.
Yeah. No, that's big, dude. That's really good. And the other thing you said about mentors, too.
Yeah.
Right. This podcast, we probably at like episode 30 something, right?
Yeah.
Got some really heavy hitters that started from nothing.
Yeah.
They all did the same thing. They reached out, they got a network.
Uh-huh.
And then they said, dude, just I'll work for you for free. And they implanted themselves in a position of like humility and serving. Bro, there's no entrepreneur that built it themselves going to see a young guy or hungry individual saying, I'm willing to work for free. I'm willing to put in 100 hours a week. And you're not going to give this guy an opportunity to
give
learn.
Him a shot.
You'd be the worst person ever to say no to that person, right?
Yep.
You might want to see that they make consistent effort to make sure they really mean it. But we have a couple interns here working right now that are here right now because of that level of enthusiasm and effort, right? And they might have started off unpaid, but they turned into a paid position, and now they're learning rapidly. Like, perfect examples, Jack, right? Jack started off door knocking. We didn't even want to hire the guy, right? But he was like, dude, I want to learn. I'll do whatever it takes. He made it to director faster than anybody in company history.
Right.
Right. So what's your objective in this podcast, Real Leverage Podcast, and what are you hoping for the audience to really take away?
So my hope for the podcast and my hope for everybody listening is going to be the same as it is for our employees and everybody we work with. Ultimately, what we're trying to do here is create wealth. And what I want to do is create wealth for everybody that we work with, everybody listening, and then find a good way to give that wealth away in a way that makes the world a better place. And I know that sounds a little cheesy, but it's a mission that we've always had, and we can get behind. And I think everybody at our company will tell us we want these guys buying real estate. We want to create financial freedom. And the same is true for everybody listening.
Amen. Awesome. Thank you, Eric. And if the guests want to find you, reach out to you, what's the best way to get in contact?
Eric Panecki on Instagram, no spaces, E-R-I-C-P-A-N-E-C-K-I. Same on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. Reach out to me. We'll link it in the bio in the podcast. You know, DM me, shoot me a message. I get back to everybody. We want to help grow. We're looking for good partners. We're looking for deals. We're trying to buy $6 million worth of real estate this quarter. If you have a good deal, send it to us, please. And let's rock and roll.
Let's ride.
All right, everybody, that's our show. If you like what you heard, do us a huge favor and give us a 5-star rating and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you're feeling generous, maybe even tell a friend. Word of mouth helps a lot. If you're interested in being on the show or getting exclusive invites to our Deals and Dollars networking events, you can fill out a form at dealsanddollars.com. That's deals, the letter N, dollars.com. Your hosts were David Choi, Eric Panecki, and John Libretti. The podcast was produced by me, Joshua Perna, with additional editing by Jonas DeHuse and Erwin Castillo. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.